likely to stand out in today's cluttered marketplace. Today, we live in a world of nearly infinite options. From our social network to our choice of caffeinated beverage, there's a blur of competing choices, and it's harder than ever to get arrested. In a 24/7 blizzard of white noise, point of difference is no longer just a marketing catchphrase. It's a matter of life and death. And cool sells. Indeed, our society is consumed with the trappings of cool. It always has been. It's the brilliant light that turns us all into quivering moths. Young people gravitate toward it. Older people covet it because it makes them feel young. All across the psychographic spectrum, everyone wants it, even if they can't define what cool actually is. This collective obsession is why cool moves product like nothing else. But we know this. So what's the problem with the simple question, how do we make this thing cool? Why write a book about such a basic impulse? Because asking the question implies there's a shortcut to acquiring cool. More than ever, people seem to think it's a quick fix for sale. There's certainly good reason to make this gross assumption. Today, the idea of cool has been democratized, commoditized, and corporatized. What was once reserved for the fringes, from roiling basketball courts in Harlem to churning runways in Milan, now flows out of cubicles in Missoula and suburban home offices with flash programmers and T1 connections. Even size, in many respects, is no longer the enemy of cool. When a major retail chain like H&M or a tech company like Apple can be chic to New York City club kids and Midwestern soccer moms alike, it's possible for anyone to achieve that perception. Suddenly, everyone, from large corporations to small individuals, is in on it. This brings us back to the question that launched this book. How do we make this thing cool? Or more accurately, to the troubling answer. We chase after it. More than ever, there's a perception that you can chase cool and bottle it. If you want it badly enough, you hunt it down and apply it. You hire some irreverent-looking marketing exec in ripped jeans and a retro t-shirt to dial it up for you, or put a chicken on a website, or sprinkle some bling on it. But to what end? In an age when so many think of cool as a spice to be sprinkled on a bland product, chasing becomes an end in itself. The chase comes in many misguided forms. Among the tactics noted in this book, you'll find chasing outside insights via focus groups, trend reports, and hip agencies. Chasing other people's successes. Chasing short-term marketing and nightlife gimmicks. Chasing quick hits via borrowed equity. Chasing semantic shams and fly-by-night paint jobs. Chasing urban credibility. This book offers an alternative to all these ill-conceived tactics. We believe that cool is not the outcome of a chase, but rather the province of a tasteful visionary who maintains a personal, authentic point of view. Apple, Nike, Target, and all the companies to which marketers aspire were driven by this type of personal vision. These companies blazed trails and took tremendous risks to achieve their aspirational muscle. They did not chase cool like a greyhound after a fake rabbit. They saw opportunities where others didn't. They engaged consumers authentically. They didn't genuflect to someone else's equity. They inspired change when others were defending their positions, and they had the balls to keep reinventing themselves again and again and again. They were driven by passion and constantly alive to inspiration from everywhere. As Russell Simmons told us, chasing cool is really a bad idea. Inspired by cool is a great idea. Walk the street, see what's going on, and spit it out in your own way. Don't do it because you research it, do it because you breathe it. Cool should be what inspires you, and what inspires you, you give back to the world. So, why us? What do we know? As marketers, we've devoted much of our lives to figuring out how to help brands garner attention in crowded times. Gene Pressman did it as successfully as anyone ever has at Barney's, where he personally elevated a brand that remains second to none in its field. I make my living helping brands, both large and small, become more relevant to younger audiences, something I learned a great deal about in my previous career as a DJ, when I performed with, among others, Jennifer Lopez, and headlined in many of the top clubs across the country. Though Gene and I may be generations apart and have different tastes on many key cultural issues, we're identical twins when it comes to our shared distaste for the chase.